You can now hear the rebroadcast of some of your favorite live programs on KNEL Podcast. KNEL has a variety of podcasts to choose from, including news, sports, talk radio, faith, and inspiration. For a list of KNEL podcasts, visit KNEL Radio homepage and look for podcast. Click on the podcast of your choice and listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio News, KNEL Sports, Hillbilly Hits, At Home with Debbie Rule, and The Network Live. KNEL making a difference with podcasts just for you.
90 AM and Brady.
Everybody, welcome to our forum. Candidate Forum, can't hear me? Good evening, and welcome into KNEL's Candidate Forum for our county commissioners and sheriff's races for 2024 in the primary election schedule for March 5th. I'm Lynn Ferris. It's great to be here with you, and I have our candidates with us tonight. We're Candidate Forum here on KNEL. We have the early voting starting in a week from tomorrow for early voting for the March 5 primary. And in the primary, in the contested races in McCullough County, we have a contested race for sheriff and a contested race for county commissioner for Precinct 3. So tonight's business is that we'll hear from the candidates for those two races. And the way it will work is we'll go through the candidates who have an opportunity to speak. We'll start with the sheriff's candidates and then follow that with the county commissioners. The order of when they speak is determined by their place on the ballot. So whoever is first on the ballot will be the first speaker for this evening. Once we've heard from the candidates for sheriff and then for county commissioner, we will take your questions, written questions, and we're taking them now, see, written questions. And we'll go through them and sort them out, make sure they're all don't have any duplications, and then I'll ask the questions, and we'll be on with it from that standpoint. Again, I remind you, appreciate the McCullough County Republican women for being here with all the goodies in the back and the tea and all the great hospitality that they've extended for everybody for our candidate forum for tonight. And again, remember, the early voting starts a week from tomorrow. Make sure folks understand these are for the county commissioners and sheriff's race for the primary on March 5th. There is filing underway for city council in Brady and school board and things of that nature. And our plan will be to hold another candidate forum on April 15th for the city candidates. And so we'll not have the city candidates as part of tonight. We have a couple of folks who are candidates, and we recognize them. Terry Phillips is a candidate, it's already signed up for city council. Tony Groves is here. And hold up your hand, Tony. Thank you. And who've signed up for the race for city offices, but we'll get to that on April 15th here on KNEL. And with that said, I think it's time that we get started. We start with the sheriff's candidates. I understand Matt Andrews is the first candidate on the ballot. And so first will be Matt Andrews.
Good evening. I think I know most of y'all. I'm Matt Andrews, sheriff here in McCullough County. Real quick, tell you about myself. I was raised out in West Texas in the town of Andrews. In 1979, I joined the Texas Department of Public Safety as Highway Patrol Trooper in Midland. I worked out there for 13 years on Highway Patrol, and then I promoted into the Texas Rangers and was still assigned to Midland. I stayed there for 5 years, and McCullough County or Brady, the Texas Ranger slot here came open, and I applied for it. We moved here. We wanted to get to a smaller town. We grew up in a fairly small town, which isn't small anymore, but we grew up in a small town. We wanted to move to a small town, and Brady was the perfect town for us, and so we moved here, and I was Texas Ranger here for, I was in Midland for 5 years, and then I was Texas Ranger here for 12 years. I retired from DPS, and after retiring from DPS, I went to work for Brady Police Department, where I worked for 4 years as the captain, which was the assistant to the chief, and also I was head of criminal investigations for the police department. Did that for 4 years, and I had an opportunity to go to work in Andrews County, for Andrews County, but I was assigned to the FBI's Oldfield Theft Task Force. So I worked out of the FBI office in Midland, and did that for 2 years, driving back and forth. My wife and my kids still here. So So after 2 years of that, I moved back to Brady and became the chief investigator for the 452nd District Attorney's Office for Tanya Allsweed. I was a chief investigator there for about 8 years, at which time I got elected to be the sheriff, and I have been the sheriff for the past 3 years. So a total of 45 years I've got in law enforcement. Real quick, when I ran for sheriff the first time, one of the things that I promised was that we were going to try to work on the drug cases and try to make more drug cases. I also wanted to work on our criminal cases and work with the deputies on doing criminal investigations and teaching them how to be better criminal investigators. And so when we got into office, we started immediately working on the drug problem and also working on criminal investigations. Criminal investigations are a very time-consuming job if you do them properly. So to give you an idea of how this went and let you all be the judge of whether we fulfilled our promise or not, the 4 years prior to me becoming sheriff, there was a total of 32 drug cases that were filed by the sheriff's office. After I became sheriff, in the past 3 years, now I'm talking about 4 years as opposed to 3 years, in the past 3 years, we've made 144 drug cases, which is a difference of 433% that we've raised from there. So on criminal cases where they are cleared by an arrest, 4 years prior to me was 95 cases cleared by arrest. Since we've taken over, I've taken over at the sheriff's office, we have made 342 criminal arrests cleared by investigation and everything. That's a total of 395% increase in our criminal investigations. And another number here that is offenses and warrants that we have reported on and everything was 4 years prior to me coming into office. Since I've been in office, we've got 665. That's 162% increase. So I feel like we have held up to our end of the bargain as far as, you know, our promise that we were going to work on the drug cases and our criminal investigations. And so this year, I have my motto is promises made and promises kept. I feel like we kept our promises. And to give you an idea, we have, since I've been sheriff, we have upgraded all of our equipment. We're starting to get some new vehicles. We've got 3 new vehicles in here recently. We've got 2 more that have been ordered. We have inside our vehicles, all of our vehicles have new video systems in there that are state of the art. We have new computer systems in our vehicles, which are all state of the art. And we put all of our deputies into law enforcement uniforms and no more wearing blue jeans and polo shirts, all of them wearing uniforms. And all of our vehicles are now clearly marked. If you've seen them, you know that they're very recognizable. They're clearly marked as sheriff's office vehicles. And prior to me taking office, they had the white writing on the white vehicle, what they call ghost writing. And so I wanted the citizens to know that we're out there, and I wanted the bad people, the people who are violating the law, to know that we're out there. And so that's the reason we mark them, clearly mark them, and I want people to know that we're there. To give you an idea, also, the sheriff also runs the jail. Shortly after I took office, we had a problem in McCullough County, or in the city of Brady primarily, but also in McCullough County, where people were being burglarized and stuff was being stolen left and right. Y'all may have remembered having a town hall meeting out here at the Civic Center over that. We were already working with the police department, and we continue to work with the police department. And these people, we started arresting them along with the police department. We worked together on it. And before long, our problem was, you remember when they built that jail, had 66 beds in it. And everybody said that was the jail that would never be filled up. Well, after about a month or two, we filled that thing up, and we were taking inmates to Mills County over to Goldthwaite and also to Gillespie County, Fredericksburg. And so we filled it up, and we had about six or eight inmates that we were taking out of county. So, you know, and I don't ask for PR bonds on these cases. The judges set the bond, and the inmates have to either come up with a bond or they stay with me. So the jail is a large part of our budget. The sheriff, far and away, has the largest budget in McCullough County. I'll tell you that up front. Also, my personnel, the people that work for me, I have almost half, just under half, of McCullough County's employees work for the sheriff's office. So, to give you an idea, now a lot of the equipment that we bought all new weapons. We bought a lot of equipment, and most of that was gotten through grant money. We have applied for a lot of grants, and we have gotten grant money to cover the vest, to cover the camera system, computer systems, and everything that we've gotten. So we've got a lot of grant money and saved the county a lot of money by doing so. Also, we house inmates in the jail for other counties. Mason County's got a very small jail. They don't hold very many, so we house theirs. The man who was just convicted of burning the jail down, since the day he was arrested and brought back to Mason County, he stopped in Mason County for about 6 minutes to get magistrated, and then they brought him to us. We have housed him ever since then, and he's still there today. So, housing of out-of-county inmates, we have brought in $240,000 in 3 years. And then our inmate work crew, y'all may have seen the inmate work crew around here. George Escobar is in here somewhere, and he is the one that now runs it. And so the inmate work crew has worked about 8,000-something hours, man hours, here for McCullough County. It's not only for the county, for any nonprofit organization or any other government entity. They can do work for them. So we use them a lot. A lot of the county commissioners use them for patching roads, for working on roads, cutting brush back and everything. They use them a lot, and they use a lot to, every time a tree limb falls on the courthouse lawn, we're over there usually within about 20 to 30 minutes. We cut it up and haul it off. The inmate work crew does. So if you take that and you add the number of man hours and you multiply it by minimum wage right now, that has saved the citizens of McCullough County roughly $120,000 that we have saved by having those inmates out working. And so we're doing everything we can to be good stewards of the county's money. Like I said, we have the largest budget, but we have turned money back. We've been in the black every year and turned money back at the end of the fiscal year, every year since I've been in office. So I would like to continue being your sheriff. I think that with my years of experience, you know, on my signs and stuff you see, it says experience that matters. And I have 45 years, and I have done everything from criminal investigations to patrol work and highway patrol, working with the federal government. You have to forgive me for that one. Anyway, working for them for about 2 years, and I've worked as supervisor and also in the prosecutor's office as an investigator for them. So I think that you'll see that that I have the skills that it takes to be sheriff, and I have been sheriff for the past 3 years, and I think that the sheriff's office has come a long ways in those 3 years. And I'd appreciate your support and vote for the next 4 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Our other candidate for sheriff in McCullough County, Artie Roberts.
Hello, I'm Artie Roberts. I'm a lifelong resident of McCullough County. Born and raised here. Went to school here. I graduated from Rochelle High School in 1999. I had a lot of teachers, coaches, that made me who I am today. And you know who you are, and I'd like to say thank you for all the hard work and everything that you did for me. Secondly, I want to talk about my family. I was born to Arlen and Elaine Roberts. My dad was he worked at a local tire shop, and my mother, she was a waitress. But one thing my parents taught me was hard work. And whatever you put your mind to do, you can do it. And I knew from a young age that I wanted to be in law enforcement. And I love being in law enforcement. I love everything that it brings. However, after I graduated high school, started working at the prison in Eden, and I made my way from the ranks of just a correctional officer to case manager and disciplinary hearing officer. And during that time, I learned a lot about the core principles: honesty, teamwork, and integrity. During that time, I knew I wanted to be in law enforcement. Still wasn't fulfilling what I wanted to do. Came back to work at Brady Police Department as a dispatcher. And I was a dispatcher for a couple of years while I worked through the academy at night. And I graduated the academy in 2015. I've been in law enforcement now almost 9 years. I currently hold the rank of investigator at a local sheriff's office. Why I want to be your sheriff is I believe it's community relations. I want to know each of you. I want to know the problems that we're having in the community. I want to be available, and I feel like I have the skill set to move McCulloch County into the future. I do believe that my opponent talked about some statistics, and the statistics that he brought out is all off of one reporting system, and that reporting system is CopSync. And under Sheriff John Bagan, he had two different reporting systems. One was Justice Solution, and the other one was CopSync. So there's about 2 years of missing data there that's misleading. On the other hand, why I want to be sheriff is I want to be transparent. I know what I can bring, and what I will bring is honesty, hard work, and that work ethic that my parents taught me, that I could become anything that I wanted to become as long as I put in the work. And if I'm elected as sheriff, I can promise you I will work hard. I will work hard for each of you because we deserve everything. We deserve the best from law enforcement. And one of the big things that everyone's talking about is there's not deputies out in the county, that the deputies are mainly in town. And I have two responses to that. Brady is part of McCulloch County, and Brady needs help as well. However, you know, Melvin, Long, Rochelle, Boca, you need law enforcement presence there as well. And on my website, Artie Roberts for Sheriff on Facebook, I have my phone number. I have my personal phone number on there. And the reason why I have my personal phone number is because I want to be available. I want you to be able to call me. If you have a problem, if you have an issue, I want to be able to talk to you. I want to know you. And if you know a neighbor who's doing something that you may think it's illegal, I want you to give me a call, and I want to help you with that situation, whatever it may be. Criminal investigations, I've been doing criminal investigations for the last 3 years, and I was so lucky to work the case of the guy that was burned down the courthouse, and he was convicted of that in Mason County. That was a hard case. It was something that was, I kind of learned by trial, and I'm very thankful for everyone that helped me on that case. I'm thankful for the fire marshals. I'm thankful for the DA's office. I'm thankful for Sheriff Lancaster for providing that information. One thing about Sheriff Lancaster, that working for him for the past 3 years, he is well known in his community, and he's well liked in his community. He has 3,400 residents. And in his phone, he has 2,100 contacts. If I'm elected sheriff, I understand we have about 7,800, 8,000 people in McCullough County. I'm just going to have to buy a bigger phone to put everybody's phone number in. With that being said, I feel like I have the skill set to move McCullough County forward. If I'm elected, I will become a certified jailer and a jail administrator because I want to know how to manage the people that I'm working for, that are working with me. And I want to be a leader that works with my people. I don't want to be a boss. I want to be a leader. A boss will tell you what to do. A leader will get out there and work along with you. And with that being said, a vote for me is a vote for a change. It's a vote for the future. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I've heard from the two candidates now. I've got a few questions for them, and they're the sort of kind of questions you expect folks to ask for the sheriff candidates when they're campaigning. We'll start with the first one. We'll start with Matt. We'll let you, since you were first, go with this one first. Now, what is the biggest crime problem in McCullough County, and how would you solve it?
The biggest crime problem in McCullough County and any county in the state is drugs and narcotics. And we are continuing to work hard on making our drug arrests and narcotics arrests. Almost all of our burglaries and thefts and other crimes are related to the drug problem. The biggest part of them are. And so until we get to the point where we are solving the drug problem and working on that, then we're going to continue having the other crimes. And so that's what we are centering on and we are working hard on is the drug problem because it relates to everything else that's going on in our county.
There's a second question, and it really fits back with what you're saying. The question is, how would you fix the drug problem?
Well, there's a lot of ways to fix it. I mean, we've got the laws, and all we can do is what the laws allow us to do. I know that some people have talked about writing tickets for Class B misdemeanor possession of marijuana. Well, I'll tell you my opinion on that is the legislature wrote that law as such where it is an arrestable offense, and we need to be arresting people for that offense. We don't need to be writing them tickets because if you write them a ticket and you let them go and they are under the influence of marijuana and they wreck and kill somebody, your ticket's going to be in their pocket. And so you have to think about this. This is part of what you have to think about is we're going to continue making arrests on everything that we can find. If they are in possession of marijuana, then they are going to go to jail for it, and we're not writing tickets for that. From there on up, all the drugs that we find, whether it's just a trace amount or whatever, we arrest them, and they go to jail for it. So, you know, we don't have a narcotics agent, per se, and so we work closely with DPS narcotics on stuff, and we give them a lot of the cases. You know, when we had the big drug roundup here right shortly after I took office, we had assisted them on the investigation, and we assisted them on the roundup. But it was their cases. Those cases were theirs. They worked on those and developed all the information, the evidence. But we were right there with them the whole time and working with them on that case. So we're going to continue working with anybody that we can to help solve the drug problem because that is essentially the root of all evil in our community.
Marty, take the question. The questions again, there were two of them. One is what's the biggest crime problem in McCullough County? And then right related to that, or how are you going to fix the drug and homeless problem? We didn't address homeless.
I'll agree with my opponent. The drug problem is the biggest problem we have in McCullough County and in Brady. You can drive down Bridge Street at any given time of the day or night, and you're going to see someone who's addicted to methamphetamine. Methamphetamine is a drug that does not discriminate. It doesn't discriminate whether you're old or young, you're white, Hispanic, black, it doesn't matter how much money you have or how poor you are. It gets a hold of the people in our community, and it disassociates them from their families. And that's something that I believe is the biggest problem that we have here, because when they disassociate themselves from their families, I believe that's part of the question. That's a reason for the homelessness, because their families can't deal with them anymore because they're using that poison, and they're putting it into their bodies, and they can't allow that, which I understand. If I'm elected sheriff, I'm going to bring back a K-9 unit, and a K-9 unit will be available at all times. I believe that's the quickest way we can get probable cause to search these vehicles and to put the bad guy in jail, those that are bringing this poison into our community. Secondly, it's going to take an approach of working hard to make this happen. It's not something that we're going to get done overnight, but if we're consistent, having a K-9 unit available and making these cases, maybe these people can get the help that they need through court system, safety, or going to prison to change their behavior. Mr. Parrish, what was that second question again?
Oh, the second question is how you going to solve the drug problem.
I believe I answered that.
We have another question here, and it's for both sheriff's candidates, so we'll go ahead and let you take the first crack at this one. And it's for both candidates, and it's really a three-part question. Essentially boils down to experience and so forth. The question is, how many countywide incidents have you commanded? How many incident command schools have you been to? And how many multi-agency task forces have you been involved
with? As far as multi-agency task force, I've never been involved in that. I do know when we had the courthouse fire in Mason County, there was a ton of help that came in, lots of different agencies, and I was in charge of one crime scene while Sheriff Lancaster was in charge of the other crime scene. I've learned how to communicate effectively with the team, and it's all about teamwork, and it's all about checking your ego at the door and working together so we can make whatever the plan or operation is, you can be successful in that plan and operation.
And the question was, how many countywide incidents have you commanded, how many incident command schools, and how many multi-agency task forces have you been involved in?
Well, I was in the Texas Rangers. Usually when we got to a crime scene, major crime scene especially, we would command the multi-agency investigation. So that was a big part of what we did. We have learned, and of course, we received a lot of training on working with other agencies and commanding and working with multi-agency task forces. When I was in the Rangers in Midland, I was assigned to the Metro Homicide Unit, which we worked all the homicides and questionable deaths in Ector County. That was a multi-agency task force made up of myself, the investigators from Odessa Police Department, from Ector County Sheriff's Office, the DA's office, and the medical examiner's office. They have an investigator, and he was also assigned to it. So I've done a lot of work on multi-agency task force. Most of our cases in the Rangers deal with multiple agencies at a time, and so I've got a lot of experience in that. What was the other part of it?
Basically, that incident command schools and countywide incident that you
The state has, or actually it's a national incident command training, and I have been to pretty much every one of those. I've been through about 8 or 9 of them, and so I've been through all of those for incident command training, and have the certificates to show for it and everything. And it's a national thing that shows how the incident command is supposed to be set up and how it's supposed to operate. And right now, the sheriffs of the state of Texas, each sheriff in the county, has to have a meeting of dealing with school safety. And it involves inviting all the other law enforcement agencies to it, the head of them, the head of all the schools, the head of fire departments, all the fire departments, and EMS and all that, and the hospital personnel. And we are now doing that, and I'm the one that heads up that. So, and what we are doing is trying to be prepared for, heaven forbid, that there be something at the schools. And but if it does, then we are all prepared for and have our roles already set up, so it will move more fluid and be more more continuity than what happened in Uvalde. We don't want to ever see that happen again, and so that's why reason the legislature passed this law, and they put it off on the sheriffs of each county. A lot of counties, such as Mason County, do not have a police department and stuff, so every county in the state of Texas has a sheriff, and so the sheriff are the ones who get that responsibility. Okay.
The other question, now that you mentioned Mason not having a sheriff's police department, why do we have a sheriff's office and a police department in McCullough County?
McCullough County is the city of Brady is big enough that it really needs a police department. And I encourage there to be a police department because there have been cases where the sheriff does not get along with the city. And the sheriff is, you know, when they some of these towns have a police or don't have a police department, the sheriff may have two or three deputies on, but he'll send them out in the county and leave the police, I mean the city, without any protection. And I would hate to see that happen in the city of Brady. And so, like I said, we work well with Brady Police Department. We have a good police department here and a good chief of police to work with. And we work closely with them. And I think that Brady is too big of a community and too big of a town to have just the sheriff's office patrolling it. Because right now, I'll tell you right now, I have six deputies, and that's all that we are budgeted for. So we have six deputies. And if you do away with the police department, the county is going to have to get more money from somewhere, and it's probably going to come from the city. And the other side to that is, as we've seen over in Mason, they had a police department at one time. When I first moved here, Mason had a police department. And they just did away with it about the time I arrived here in 1997. And they have been unhappy at times with the sheriff's office and the work that they're doing. But when they look at the cost of reinstating a police department, it is cost prohibitive. You cannot start a new police agency this day and age just from scratch. So it is hard to do. So for the money that the city spends on their police department, I think they do an excellent job. And like I said, we're there to work with them. I was trained on teamwork from the beginning. I mean, we work with the state. We work closely with Highway Patrol. We've got the Texas Ranger who has an office there in our building right across the hall from me. And so we work closely with every agency that we can, especially the police department and DPS. Those are the ones that we work closely with most often.
Thank you. Artie, you want to share your opinion about the sheriff's office and the police force?
I agree. My opponent took the words right out of my mouth. I believe that Brady is a big enough city that it needs a police department. And if I'm elected sheriff, I'm going to work alongside the Brady Police Department and those guys there. I know that there's a lot of great officers there. And the police chief, he's working hard to change the face of that department. And I believe that we're going to have to continue to work together. It would not be a good thing for the sheriff's office to have all that responsibility.
One more question.
Okay.
That you can get this one. For sheriff's candidate, are you or will you be a constitutional sheriff, and what does that mean to you? What do you think the role of the sheriff is?
Well, to be a constitutional sheriff is to make sure that everyone that lives in your county, that their constitutional rights are afforded to them. And to be a constitutional sheriff, I don't believe that anything that has an initial CIA, FBI, ATF needs to come into the county without the effective consent of the sheriff. I believe that the sheriff needs to work with federal agents, but federal agents shouldn't set up investigations and conduct their business without the sheriff's permission.
This is the final question. Basically, again, will you be a constitutional sheriff, or are you? And what is the role of the sheriff?
Okay. Real quick, what constitutional sheriff, where it came from is, there was a sheriff in Arizona named Richard Duke, and back when Bill Clinton was president, he came out and was trying to pass some gun control laws, and he was wanting every time somebody buys a gun in the sheriff's county that the sheriff was going to be assigned by federal law to do a background investigation on everybody that bought a gun. Well, this sheriff sued Bill Clinton. Now, keep in mind, he brought suit against Bill Clinton, not Bill Clinton suing him for not doing it. So he took the horse by the reins, and he sued Bill Clinton, President Clinton. And so as a result of that lawsuit, it went all the way to the Supreme Court. He funded all that out of his own pocket. He actually went broke funding it, but he took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled that the sheriff of every county in the United States takes an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and to follow the laws of his state and of his county. And so it does not say that he has to follow the laws of the president or of the United States, or he has to enforce and uphold those laws, just of the state and of the county. So that's where it came from. Now, there has been a lot of rumors that this is some sort of ultra-right-wing conservative group. It is not. It is just a group that says that the sheriff makes his own decisions for his own county and for his own department, and that he is the one who is, he doesn't have to enforce the federal laws, and the president cannot make him enforce them. Now, having said that, we've already had a little bit of a run-in. I mean, not a run-in, but we had a little bit of a challenge on that. When I first came into office, COVID was becoming the big thing, and our current president came out and said that he wanted all the sheriffs to close down the churches. You may remember that. He was wanting us all to close down the churches. And as soon as I heard that, I said, we are not closing down the churches. If you're familiar with the Constitution, the First Amendment of the Constitution gives you the right to freedom of religion and freedom of assembly, which means the churches are, they make their own decisions. They can decide if they want to stay open or if they want to close. We were not going to get involved in it, and we did not get involved in it. So that's an example of what a constitutional sheriff is. He is the one that, you know, the federal government cannot come in and order him to do something under federal law. All they can do is you know, they try, and they'll still continue to try. But most of the sheriffs that I know are pretty much dead set that they're not going to do something unless it is within state law or county, something in their state statutes that require them to do that.
Well, that wraps up the sheriff's portion of our candidate forum. Both candidates, Sheriff Matt Andrews, Arden Roberts, appreciate you being here with us. This is KNEL 95.3 FM in Brady, and we appreciate everybody who's listening to our candidate forum this evening. Next up, we will hear from the candidates for county commissioner for Precinct 3 in McCullough County, an open seat. The previous commissioner, Jason Behrens, chose not to run for re-election.
So we have an open seat with four candidates signed up, brave souls all, and we appreciate that. The format, again, we will go in order of the order the folks are on the ballot, and I've forgotten who was first on the ballot. You're first, and okay, and Cody Crouch is first, and we'll get it started for us this evening. The candidates are Cody Crouch, Debbie Clifton, Chad Hill, and Rod Young, but not necessarily in that order. Cody?
I was happy about that when I got drawled, but then I was like, oh, shoot, I got to talk first. My name is Cody Crouch. I'm honored to stand before you as a candidate for McCullough County Precinct 3. Bear with me. I'm not a big talker. Did I just hear my wife laugh? A little bit about myself. At the age of 17, a life-altering boiler accident paralyzed my left arm. This moment didn't define me. It taught me resilience, determination, and the unwavering power of faith. Over 4 years ago, I met the love of my life and my better half, Kelsey Crouch. Her love and support, encouragement has been one of my biggest strengths. Her belief in me amplified my determination. We do not have any children, but praying we will one day. We currently attend Brady Baptist Church. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We believe in giving back to our community, like volunteering for the mission of Brady going on 5 years now. Over 13 years ago, I was hired on as motor grader operator by J.P. Murray. During those 13 years, I had purchased several rental properties in this and surrounding areas. It instilled in me a strong sense of fiscal responsibility and an understanding of the importance of balancing budgets effectively. If entrusted with this position, I aim to seek cost-effective solutions for residents. Working for Precinct 3, I've had the privileges of building relationships with dedicated county employees and county judges. These connections have not only provided me with invaluable insights, but have also instilled in me, given me an understanding of the inner workings of our county. Working for Precinct 3 under not one, not two, but four county commissioners, I've learned the importance of working with XDOT, as they are the backbone of our region's transportation system. As your county commissioner, I will work together with TxDOT to enhance roadways, bridges, and prioritize infrastructure projects. Improving our roads not only fosters smoother commutes, but attracts business and growth. Equally crucial is our partnership with FEMA. Whenever a natural disaster occurs, this will allow the county to safeguard our residents and help those affected by unseen events. I am all too familiar with both government agencies, not only doing the work, but keeping meticulous records, receipts, and ensuring every penny is allocated for. I have witnessed, as the current and sole grader operator for Precinct 3, I have witnessed firsthand the challenges and needs of our county roads. Our roads are the veins that connect our families, work, school, and churches. The complaint I hear about most are the roads. It's clear that our current resources are struggling to keep up with the 140-plus miles of road in this precinct. When I started for this precinct 13 years ago, we had two full-time employees and two part-time employees. Now, going into 2024, the county commissioners budgeted for one full-time employee for each precinct and one full-time employee that floats all four. Since losing the SAM plan revenue, their budget is tighter. Precinct 2 has one employee for their 35-plus miles of road. Doing the calculation on that employee miles of road ratio, we should have four employees. Therefore, having one operator and one grader will never be able to keep up with the roads. This county commissioner will have to be a full-time working commissioner. And when I mean full-time, I don't mean just going to meetings every other Monday and saying that they know the equipment. This commissioner will have to know how to haul gravel, grade roads, trim trees, and service equipment on top of county business. My proposal is simple but effective. We sell our one new grader and invest into two older graders, low-hour graders. On top of hiring an operator and a part-time driver, with me grading full-time, we can double our progress, ensuring that our infrastructure receives the attention it deserves. By making this move, we save thousands of dollars on maintenance and repairs. New graders are expensive, complex, and computer-operated. Before stepping into this role, I have already found both of these employees. They are experienced and rooted in our community. My first priority will be to fix school bus routes, followed by most travel roads, then farmer access. Over the last decade, I've built relationships with landowners in this precinct that will allow the county to utilize their natural gravel resources in order to fix the roads like they need, saving thousands of dollars on gravel and trucking cost. What sets me apart from the other candidates? I know all the roads and everything about them. I know where to get gravel, natural and crushed. I know where to get water when the roads powder out. I already have experience working with TxDOT and FEMA. I know what they want and what they expect. If my employees are sick or on vacation, I can continue grading or working on projects. If a fire breaks out and they need a grader to help, I'm knowledgeable on how to make fire breaks, saving properties, even possibly lives. I'm not asking for y'all's vote because I'm tired of my current job. Precinct 3 is my job. I don't just promise change. I promise dedication, hard work. I don't think anyone here would get in an airplane with an inexperienced pilot. Then why would we vote someone into the precinct with no real county experience? Remember, it's not about electing a name. It's about choosing someone who is ready, equipped, knowledgeable, and dedicated to Precinct 3. Thank you.
Okay, who's number two? Rod Young. Okay, Rod.
Thank you, Cody. That's impressive. I want to thank KNEL for doing this, giving us the opportunity to speak, and the ladies. They always do a great job of bringing treats and all that, and for all of y'all to take time out of your evenings to come and be concerned and meet the candidates. I think that's important for the area. Again, I'm Rod Young, candidate for Precinct 3 Commissioner. Grew up in Brady, fourth generation. I've got great-grandparents buried in Rochelle. And went to school, Brady schools. I can remember most all my teachers' names. Went to college, Southwest Texas, Texas State University, business degree with a concentration in finance. My mother passed away just as I was finishing college, so I came back home. Didn't plan on coming back to the family business that quick, but I came back to join in with my dad. And single, didn't think I'd ever get married or whatever, but serving on grand jury, met my wife. She's the court reporter for the 452nd district, and she was then, and she still is today, and we've been married 36 years. So as we go on, the community and Young Ready Mix was our family business. Many of y'all have done business with us through the years. I've been on many places and throughout the area through supplying ready mix concrete. And then we also, of course, had heavy equipment. We had loaders, motor graders, dump trucks, belly dumps. You could ask any of my employees. I jump in with them. I do anything that's asked of me and right beside them. And I've had experience of buying equipment, operating equipment, and maintaining equipment. So that's my whole background. Also, you know, we've had to deal with older equipment. I don't have any problem with keeping older equipment up. Now, fast forward, I gradually bought my dad out of the business, and we had an opportunity to sell, and I could see the writing on the wall. Concrete companies were consolidating, and felt like it would be foolish to try to fight some of the bigger ones, so we joined them. And so my duties changed from heavy equipment operating and doing that sort of thing to more of an administrative role. And so actually for the past 10 years, Saturday was 10 years ago, we sold to Ingram Concrete and had a great relationship there. And covered Brady, Coleman, Transaba, and all the way down to Junction and Menard. And that's gone well. We were bought out again by Vulcan Materials. So there you go again, learning more policies and procedures through Vulcan Materials, which is the largest material supplier in the nation. And I thought that was going to be the way it would be. And 2 years later, they sell off the ready-mix portion, Vulcan did, to SRM Concrete. So a couple of months ago, here we go again, more changes. And it's been good. I think it's good for the company. I had already decided before that I was wanting to step aside from the concrete business. And that's another thing that I wanted to make clear. I am retiring from the concrete business. And if elected commissioner, I would be a full-time commissioner. That would be my only job. I wanted to make that clear to people. And I'd like to also mention my community involvement. I've served on the hospital board for the last 15 years, and that was during the new construction of the construction of the new hospital. Went through all that, and the hospital is very strong. And then I also serve on the Commercial National Bank Board of Directors, which we get an opportunity to not only meet budgets, but we are exposed to budgets also. And same with the hospital. We've dealt with large budgets. And I also, in the past, served on the appraisal board, McCullough County Tax Appraisal Board. I've served on McCullough County Chamber of Commerce and the Industrial Foundation also. And I think all of those things put together, many of y'all know as commissioners, it's not just working on the roads. It's not just the administrative stuff. It's all of it melding together. And I feel like the relationships that I've built through the years would be invaluable. I've got a very good working relationship with the city people. Also, of course, with being connected with the hospital, I've got a good relationship there. And my wife follows Judge Hoffman around wherever he goes. And so I have occasion to talk to the district judge, and that's an important role for a commissioner's court too. And like Matt Andrews said, a big variable in the budget is law enforcement. And sometimes my brother was county judge for over 20 years here at McCullough County, and he mentioned to me that that's the big variable. He said, you know, you have your budget for your roads and those things, and that can be planned out, but we never know what big busts are going to come up or whatever, and some of those things Commissioner's Court has to take care of. So I'd also think that these relationships through the years would be very important, and I would love to represent y'all in Commissioner's Court. There's a lot of big decisions that are made in Commissioner's Court, long-term decisions, generational decisions. There's things coming up now. I would also be interested in fighting for every tax dollar that's due to us, from the windmills to whatever other. I've got four properties in McCullough County that, you know, and I pay taxes just like y'all, and I have to hold my breath every time I write that check, and I want my money's worth. I don't mind paying it, but I want my money's worth. And I know y'all want your money's worth, and I would want y'all to feel like you would, that we were out there fighting for you and squeezing every dime out of the tax dollars. And
I would just like to take this opportunity to ask for your vote and your support, and I appreciate so much the encouragement that I've already had, and I want to thank all of y'all for the opportunity to speak. And if you have questions, just let me know. Thank you.
Okay, number three on the list of candidates is Debbie Clifton. She's number three on the ballot. Debbie?
Hello, good to see everybody. My name's Debbie Clifton. I moved to McCulloch County in 1993 when I married my husband, Pat. We have two kids, three grandkids, and a granddaughter-in-law, and a great-grandbaby on the way in March. So we're very excited about that. We farm and ranch. We raise cattle, Spanish goats, and livestock guardian dogs. Can I put this down just a little bit? I feel like this is stuck right in my face. Might just maybe pull it out a little bit. It just can't hardly see people for... That's better. Thank you very much. All right. So our farming and ranching, for the first 20 years of our marriage, we were actively involved in custom farming. That's quite a ride. I started out as a gopher, but as a wife of a farmer, I pretty much got promoted to being operator, tractors, combines, swathers. Some of you have seen me operate equipment out in the county. I don't know if that was a promotion or if it was punishment, but anyway, I'm a quick learner and a hard worker, so it worked well for us. During all that time that we were busy with custom farming, we drove most of the precinct roads, so I've seen them from great shape to not so great shape. I've also driven them as a bus driver for Lone ISD. I know it takes a lot of time, effort, and planning to maintain the roads and the bridges. I believe there needs to be more preventative care to avoid the costly repairs that come after that. Someone asked me what I know about roads. I know that a good road has a crown in it so that the water runs off the road into the bar ditch, and that bar ditches need to be cleaned so the water can run down the bar ditch instead of down the side of the road. I know that unless you live out in the county or you are a business where you're driving out in the county, it may not be one of your top concerns, but as people that live in this county, we should be interested in the operation of maintaining them being more cost-effective and efficient. Right now, our county has six maintainers, but we don't have enough road hands to drive them all. My precinct is the second largest as far as miles of roads. Cody said about 140 miles of roads we have. We've gone from having two road hands and two maintainers to just one man and one machine. He's already addressed that. You can't keep things going in the right direction when you're cutting back on being able to do the work. I know Cody's done a good job out there, but there's not enough of him and not enough machine to go around. You just can't do that. The roads haven't gotten, we haven't gotten less miles of roads, but we've gotten less people and less machines doing the work. So something's got to give on that. If I'm elected, I'll work with the commissioner's court and the county judge to try to find better ways of doing things. My years in education have given me an attitude of embracing change, and I just know that when you have the attitude of looking for change and looking for positive things that come about as change, then things can get better. I believe that we should consider going to a unified or unit road system, where all our manpower and all our machines are put together into one cohesive unit with one person managing it all. I think if we did this, I believe four maintainers and four men could do a really good job in this county taking care of all the work that needs to be done. It'd be a lot better planned and a lot more cost-effective and efficient. So what else do commissioners do? A lot of people aren't sure. A lot of people don't know what they do. Well, first of all, every 2 weeks or every second and fourth Monday, they attend commissioner's court, take care of the business of the county. I've been attending since December. It's open to the public. If you want to see what they're doing, you're welcome to go to their meetings and see watch them as they work. They've got to learn to set and work budgets, work within a budget. They've got to set tax rates. They approve purchases from copy paper to maintainers. They work with the salary, benefits, and payroll of county employees, all the way from the road hands to our elected officials, such as the sheriff. And they deal with all branches of the government from city to federal. So why am I qualified to be commissioner? Well, I've learned much about cooperation and communication as an educator for almost 34 years. I've sat down at the table listening and learning under all kinds of situations, both positive and negative. And I believe that there's always a way to solve a problem when people are willing to sit down and work together. I've spent the last 20 years working in and for my community. I'm currently on the Loan Educational Enrichment Foundation Board. We serve the students and the staff of Loan ISD. I'm also on the Central Texas Farm Credit Nominating Committee for 2024. I served 8 terms as officer with the Loan Valley Improvement Association. Most recently, I was president. During that time, we were able to get G. Raleigh White Foundation grant, and we also applied for and received the Lower Colorado River Authority Community Projects grant for $11,800, which helped us to replace the 2 30-year-old HVAC units at the Tabernacle and Loan. During that time, I worked with our grant writer, did some of the legwork with the application, and also served as the contact person with the LCRA. I served almost 10 years on the USDA Farm Service County Committee and am currently an advisor to that committee. During that time, I learned a little bit about what it takes to get along with the federal government with the rules and regulations. My career in education has taught me a lot about getting along with state rules and regulations. I am also used to completing paperwork and documentation that goes along with complying with those regulations. I understand it's an important part of the job of the commissioner is getting the paperwork done, and that paperwork has to be completed for projects such as FEMA. I know how to do paperwork. I believe my education and my experience will enable me to learn the massive amount of information that's necessary to make sure that we're getting the best use out of our tax dollars. I'm a lifelong conservative who's worked hard to make a living, and my hard-earned tax dollars, I want them to be well spent. If I'm elected, I'll bring my conservative values to the commissioner's court, and I promise you that I'll try hard to make sure that our tax dollars are spent on things that are absolutely necessary and will do the most good for the most people. These are the reasons that I think I'm qualified to be your next commissioner. I would greatly appreciate your vote on March 5th. Thank you kindly.
And our fourth candidate is Chad Hill. Chad?
Man, how do you follow up with all those? Basically, pretty much. We'll start off. A little bit about me. I'm born and raised here in Brady. My name's Chad Hill. As you all know, my family's well rooted here. Not many of them are moved away. Some have. All in all, I was graduated in the class of 2004, proudly from the Brady High School. I enjoyed growing up in a small town and with the community that we had, far from sock shows, playing Little League, just the community involvement really, really thrived on me. I was raised around the farming and ranching lifestyle and the values that it pervades. And to that front, I strongly believe in. After graduating, I stuck around for a year where I worked closely with the vet clinic here. Got to meet a lot of people in the community dealing with livestock and everything. So I built that relationship with everybody. Then I ventured off onto various parts of Texas, working various types of jobs, from ranching, power lines, electrician, security installer, electrician, from feed stores. I gained a lot of experience and knowledge over the most. As you think about this, why would I run? I thought to myself, how can I give back to my community? From the knowledge that I've learned, It's something that really thrives in me. I want to give back, especially to the community that offered me so much. Like I said, the sand plants, I worked a big portion with them. I helped build the new cadre loadout and helped design it. We had a budgeting cost there that I was in charge, not completely in charge of, but had a big part in. So I had to control the budget there, be sure we're spending all the money properly. Okay, currently, like I said, working power lines, I currently hold a Class A CDL, so I am capable of driving a truck or hauling any heavy equipment. I have all that experience. As I moved on, found myself in South Texas for about 6 years working in the oil field as an oil measurement technician. Along with that, you know, we dealt with a lot of accounts. I was responsible for getting the oil out of the facility and to our customer. I was in charge of the equipment, the quality, and how promptly we got it there. After that, the COVID come along, and I got laid off, and I moved into pest control, which I worked for about a year, managing about 90 to 100 accounts. And then I found myself is when I met my girlfriend, Chelsea, at that time, and I became a proud stepfather of my five-year-old girl. She changed my life tremendously, made me grow up at a drop of a hat. And then approximately 2 years ago, I had my own child, little two-year-old, and she's named Ringling. She's also grown me. And I know I get passionate about talking about them. They're my world. We made the decision to move closer to family and have our girls grow up in the same amazing childhood with the same small-town magic that I got to experience. Going on then to the experiences that I have, the heavy equipment operator, I've handmade from your dozer, your loader, your blade, and anything you think of, I've probably thought about driving it or drove it. Currently, I work for the Texas Department of Transportation. Been there about 2.5 years now. I've started out with the road experience, working on the road, driving a dump truck, running the blade. And from that, I went on into the sign truck. So I maintain all your highway signs in the county. When it all comes back, comes a budget. I am required by the state of Texas to run off a yearly budget. I can't go over that, and I can't stay beneath it. They want me to spend it all. So the experience that TxDOT has offered me, like I said, we have got a great relationship, as Cody said, with working with the county precinct. It's an honor. I've been to many classes on road construction, bridge maintenance, and bridge inspector. I'm in the process of getting the top-notch, most bridge inspector qualification that you can get to become a state of Texas bridge inspector. Managerial experience. There's not much of TxDOT that I've on managerial side. I've got all that from the oil field where I ran approximately 3 people under me as a field lead. And also with the Texas Department of Transportation, I'm what they call a safety person of contact. That is a person that any safety concerns, any safety incidences, it's reported to me, and I'll work along with my assistant supervisor and my supervisor to calmly address the issue. Mike, like I said, what I hope to bring for the county is, we all know I grew up in the county. I've got family that live out in Precinct 3. I drove those roads as a kid, sometimes probably not as slow as I should, but it was one of those days. The drainage problem is a big issue, as Debbie said. You've got to get the water off the roads, and the crown, she is correct. There needs to be a crown on the road. But also, let's make the water, that rainwater, not work against us. Let's make it work for us. I'm willing to work with the landowners. If we can divert that water into their stock tank, that would be a great opportunity to water the cattle or water their crops. I'm planning on working with all the other commissioners to accomplish all the goals. Precinct 3, yes, that'll be the precinct that I'm in. But it's the whole county. It's the big picture. I have to work well with the others. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to take their advice, give them advice, and give credit where credit's due. Maintaining roads. Cody mentioned 140 miles of road. That's a lot for one man. And he is correct. The manpower is not there. But like I mentioned, I have a CDO. I'm not going to be this commissioner job. I will resign from TxDOT if elected. And I will become a full-time commissioner. If I'm not in the courthouse taking care of that stuff, I will be out on the road. I'm not afraid to jump in a dump truck and drive haul dirt. I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. I'm going to use all reliable resources I have with TxDOT because I have a strong relationship with them built internally. And I'm going to plan on to continue to carry that if selected. Nobody mentioned, I'm not sure real much how the McCullough County buildings are. I had a few questions on what I would do with some. You know, our county buildings, they need improvement. You know, you can't expect someone to run out of a run-down building. You know, that's a long-term goal, is to improve our county buildings so we can work more efficiently. I also would be willing to use the county budget efficiently, address the concerns as a committee the best way that we can. Okay, I guess to finish everything off is that if elected, I thrive and I promise to have an open ear for anybody. If you have an issue, feel free to call me. I'm one of those. I will come out and meet you on the road. We can discuss how to fix it and solve a solution that's going to be best for everybody. I promise to uphold my position, if elected, to the best of my knowledge and the best of my ability. There will be failures. I'll be the first to say, I'll take credit for it, and I won't see it as a failure. I'm going to see it as a learning opportunity to build upon things. For that, I want you to know your voice matters to me, and your vote counts. Please
and thank you. Okay, thank you very much, Chad. And we got a few questions. Sort of, some of them are very specific about things you would do, and some more philosophical about how you think about being a commissioner. We'll start with a couple of questions about specifics, and we'll start with. Who was first? You were first. That's right. And Cody was first. And that would be a couple of questions. I put them together, and you can deal with it, you know, separately. One question. First question would be: if you were a commissioner, would you give yourself a pay raise if you were elected? And the other is: would you support tax abatement on a wind farm or solar farm? Come on up.
To give myself a raise, I would say no. I took this job knowing what I get paid. I know that ahead of time for 4 years, and I will not raise that. My employees, if I see fit that they need it, yes, or other county employees. Tax abatements, I think, yes. If it is benefits the public, and that's what they, like the wind turbines, if it benefits the county like it has, because we lost the sand plants, if we wouldn't have had the turbines, we would be in an even tighter budget than we are now. So I do agree with tax abatement.
Okay. Right. Would you give yourself a pay raise? And do you support tax claim for wind farms and solar farms?
Well, honestly, I'm not running for commissioner for the money, believe it or not. I would be certainly satisfied with, I'm not even sure what they get paid. And I would stand before you and say I would not vote myself a pay raise. As far as the tax abatements goes, I think all those issues would be, you need to look at each one and see. But I know what we've got already, I would certainly want to be sure that we're getting our due payments on that, and I know there's some complications there right now, but I would not shut the door on abatements if it was something to benefit that precinct or the county. Thank you.
Well, I agree with everyone. We already know what the salary is. I certainly wouldn't go in asking for more money. Abatements is a tricky thing. I think that there are cases where maybe a small amount of time, but I think sometimes we just open the door and they come in and they get years of abatement when they're getting the opportunity of being in our county. They're getting the opportunity of hiring our people.
Well, they should be paying their fair share of taxes too, and we need those that tax money. So I'm like Rod. You have to look at it point by point to see exactly what the situation is. But as far as long-term tax abatements, no, definitely against them.
Well, it's pretty simple. Right now, no, I would not give myself a pay raise. Because right now, I'll be honest with you, I'd get a pay raise if elected. And, you know, it's not much, but it's something. And I don't plan on, I know what it takes to raise a family in this community. And I'm happy where I'm at, and we're doing stable. On the tax abatement, yes, I'm kind of with Debbie and Rod. Yeah, I'm okay with it. But like I said, you have to monitor it. You have to watch it. If not, they're going to run you over. There's no sense in that. If they're here, how many jobs have they provided to our community is the question. I mean, I don't know much that I know. I don't see many community out there, as far as I know. But if they provide more jobs, that's a different story. If you more jobs, more people, more money in taxes. That's the way I see it.
Okay. The next one is... If you took office tomorrow, how would you take care of the needs of the people in the precinct, operate and maintain the county roads, and be responsible to the commissioner's court? Many of you, I think all of you, touched on this issue in some way, but I'll give you an opportunity to address that specifically if you'd like, and we'll go back again with Cody. Again, the question is basically, if you took office tomorrow, what would you do to address the needs of the precinct, operate the county roads, and be responsible to the commissioner's court?
Well, like I said before, I know every inch of every 142 miles of road. I know the school bus routes. That's what I would focus on first. I know the landowners where we can get gravel. If I get gravel from a landowner, it's a third of the cost of buying crushed gravel. Crushed gravel is going to have to be hauled in from somebody somewhere. We could get it natural gravel to cut the trucking cost, but I think we need to top it with a light coat of something good, because it natural gravel doesn't always set up like crushed gravel does. So that would be school bus routes, most travel roads, and then farmer access. And you said about the second part about the commissioner's court.
Basically, working with the commissioner's court to be responsible to the commissioner's court.
Yeah, so it's Monday. If I have to be up at the commissioner's court taking care of business, then my employees will have to fill in where I can't. That's going to come first. Spending everybody's tax dollars wisely, that will always come first. I can't turn that down. I have to be there. So that's where I'll be, and if I'm not there, I will be on the roads working.
I guess the first thing I'd try to do is flag the problem areas, and if there's certain areas that always seem, you know, curbs are bad. Of course, the drainage areas, maybe attack those first, and also. Like Cody mentioned, you try to get out of hauling so much materials. We've had screening plants in the past. Two times I've had Reese Albert come down and crush material for us to make manufactured base, and that's really probably the best material for county roads. I'd also like to look into, you know, the screenings and different things that that TxDOT has had as a byproduct from some of their road jobs. That makes a good material, and maybe it's a little more expensive up front, but over the long run, you might save money without having to do so much maintenance. So I would look for those opportunities, and I would love to tackle the road issue. And I've run a blade more than I like to think about, but I've always enjoyed it. I have a desire for that. And then also, I've kept up my CDL driver's license. I have a driver's license to run pretty much any haul trucks or whatever. And then the last one was about working for the working with Commissioner's Court. What I'd like to see in McCullough County and Brady, I just want to see harmony. We can all do a better job if we're working together. And I feel like the relationships that I have with the city and also with these other places, I think that would help us work together instead of, people battling for these dollars. And I think the actual budget on the road maintenance is only 6% of the budget. And I mean, we're going to have to make some changes to cover these the needs out there. And so I think we need to have some innovative ideas that can do more work with less money. And until we can get these things done, maybe we can get some help out of I've heard the people putting the gas line in. They may have byproduct materials that they're trying to get rid of. And if the windmill maintenance on those causes more problems to our county roads, I think they need to be held accountable for that. So that's just a few of the ideas I would have. Thank you.
Very good. Debbie?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is get signed up for all the training I can go to so I can learn just exactly what my job is. There's a lot of things out there that I know I'm going to have to get a grasp of. Out in the county, out in the roads, I do know a lot of those roads. I do know where a lot of the problems are. One thing that I would do, if it ends up just still being precinct by precinct, one thing I'll do is we're going to start pulling the pickup behind the blades instead of driving the blades back and forth. It takes more fuel. It takes more time. We've got landowners that will be happy to let us pull in on their places and get off of the road, but we're going to have to be a little bit more systematic and scheduled about how we do things. I live on a mail route. My road hasn't been a priority. Last year it was bladed 2 times. I'm not blaming Cody. I know he's stretched thin. But mail route should be a priority along with the school route and then the residential. And then after that, then everybody else that pays county taxes deserves to have their roads bladed whether they live out there or not. We've got agricultural people that are up and down the roads with their equipment, with trailers and stuff. So all of the roads are important, but we do have to have priorities on what gets done first. Material, I know that's a problem. We've got material out in the bar ditches. We have enough manpower and machines to be able to work it. We can pull some of that out of the bar ditch and get it back up on the road. I will find me a mentor on the commissioner's court to help me give me some advice on what needs to be done. I am the very first person to say, I don't know. Let me ask somebody. Let me go talk to somebody. Let me go find out. I'm not going in this saying that I know very much about anything. I do have the intelligence and the ability and the willpower to learn it, to figure it out, and to find out what needs to be done.
And Cody. Not Cody, but Chad.
Hey, my other candidates are making my job easy. I agree with along them. If I took office tomorrow, like they said, the roads is a big deal. Going from the experience that I have, we're not just going to put a Band-Aid on the road. We're going to start from scratch, get your problem areas and build them up, back up, get them 100% secure. Because a Band-Aid is just a Band-Aid. Why waste money going back 6 months later and replacing it? It's just a Band-Aid. But all in all, Debbie mentioned there's material in the ditches. There is. TxDOT. My relationship with TxDOT, I have connections and ways, not necessarily that it's going to benefit me, but I have the proper communications, and I will get touch base and see if we use their materials at a cheaper cost. Not for sure. On the commissioner's court, yes, it'll be a whole new thing to me. I'm deer in the headlights on that, but I have the resources. I know all the commissioners currently on a personal level. And also my brother works for Kimball County as a blade man. I have his commissioner support. I will reach out to them, answer my questions, go from there.
Well, that's basically all of the general questions. We had one specific question where they specified which county
candidate they wanted to ask the question of. That's you, Rod. And it is a question that you may feel like you've already answered. If that's the case, that's fine. The question, though, is what do you think about the current condition of the roads in the precinct, and what changes would you make in the planning and execution of maintaining the roads?
Well, maybe we have already hammered this one out, but I think, you know, through my experience, I've opened numerous caliche pits. I know the difference of good caliche and bad caliche. One of the things through the years I've learned about roads, the rock in the road is where you get your support, and it's great during the muddy times, but it's rough when it's dry. And then your smooth caliche that looks great right after you blade it gets slick as snot when it rains. So you have to kind of have a balance between rock and the fine materials, and I understand that. And I've tested materials. I've, like I mentioned, I've had screen plants and had materials made. And I think if we can find some material sources, there's a lot of variation in the materials out around Lone and Pear Valley and Salt Gap and those areas. And there's some good caliche out there. Is any of that we could eliminate long hauls, you can lower your fuel costs and just the time that it takes. And just to kind of mention, I think Debbie mentioned maybe a centralized maintenance deal. I'm at this point, I'm not for that. I think each precinct, people know their area and their problem spots better than somebody that gets spread out in other areas. And I'm not saying I wouldn't look hard at that in the future, but as the county grows, and we are going to grow, I think the way it is right now is probably the best setup that, for McCullough County.
Well, that concludes our candidate forum for tonight. We appreciate everybody who came, the two candidates for sheriff, Matt Andrews and Artie Roberts, and our candidates for county commissioner, Rod Young, Chad Hill, Cody Crouch, Debbie Clifton. We appreciate it very much. And I want to remind everyone that early voting does start a week from tomorrow, and we'll go through the end of the month. The election day is March 5th. And don't forget that. And a reminder for folks who are not in, who are in the entire county, that vote in the other precincts other than Precinct 3, that there is a new polling place this will be opening this year, and that is Precinct 1 and 3. The polling places for those has changed to First Baptist Church on West 17th Street from the old VFW. So that's a change if you are planning that. Early voting begins, as said, next week, and then Election Day is on March 5th. And there is a lot to vote for on the ballot, even if you are in a precinct that doesn't have a contested race. We've got sheriff, of course. It's also the there's this thing called the presidency. You know, a few guys are running for that one, and a lady running for that one as well. So those are kind of interesting. As U.S. Senator, Mr. Cruz's post comes up for re-election this year, plus a number of others. The state representative for District 53, Andrew Murr, is not running for re-election. There are two candidates running for the Republican primary nomination, Wes Verdell from here in Brady and Hatch Smith. Those two are in that. They were in a debate in Kerrville tonight, and so weren't able to be here with us for this. We did attend and broadcast a county forum for those two candidates that was in Mason a couple of weeks ago, and we will replay that again before Election Day, so you might be listening to that. And we will, this evening's proceedings were recorded those, and we will plan on having that ready, up and going, ready as a podcast on our Canyon website starting on Wednesday. So you can listen to yourselves again and critique that however you wish for if you're a candidate. But it's an opportunity to listen again to what the candidates had to say. They all made some good points about who they are and why they're running and how they view the job that they're asking for you to give them. So enough of that. Get out and vote. And that is basically it. That wraps us up for our candidate forum for tonight here on KNEL 95.3 FM. Appreciate you being with us. Have a good night.
You can now hear the rebroadcast of some of your favorite live programs on KNEL Podcast. KNEL has a variety of podcasts to choose from, including news, sports, talk radio, faith, and inspiration. For a list of KNEL podcasts, visit KNEL Radio homepage and look for podcast. Click on the podcast of your choice and listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio News, KNEL Sports, Hillbilly Hits, At Home with Debbie Rule, and The Network Live. KNEL, making a difference with podcasts just for you.